Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network. For the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews, press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. What is that music?
It's a party in here. Yeah, Meredith is back, and we're going to have a party.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I guess so. It's my theme music. I actually come in now with my own theme music. That's how that works.
I want my own theme music.
Well, sorry, Matt. Until they release the official Doctor Strange theme music, I guess you don't get one. This is pretty cool, though.
I think it's the Deadpool song.
It probably is.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, oh, yeah, this is all we're going to do for the whole show,
right?
Guys.
Like, this is a dance
you're
party.
You're going to see me just, like, working on my computer while Meredith dances. That's it.
Welcome to our Deadpool show.
Is the voice of Doom going to have to intervene and take down the music?
No, yeah, well, we're having too much fun.
I feel like something's wrong.
Coy had to leave.
Oh, well.
That would be it.
He showed up and then he had to, like, out of run out at the last minute. So, guess what? No Coy.
On the Deadpool episode.
No Coy.
So you're going to have us two talk about Deadpool, which
we love
the movie.
It was a great movie, and
Deadpool
I'm excited
comics,
to talk about
so.
It.
Sorry.
But I'm going to, like, hoary host of Deadpool? Like, I don't know.
Hoary host of Deadpool. I like the idea of me missing the Deadpool episode until hoary host of Deadpool was uttered.
Should I get out?
I should have sat there. I should have been like,
get out,
guys. Deadpool was like 6 out of 5 chimichangas awesome.
6 out of 5?
6 out of 5 nice. Chimichangas. It was that good.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to let you finish your intro. I just wanted a dramatic entrance. Yeah. I felt right.
Yeah, that was 2 minutes of us waiting for you to get it.
I know. I'm like, seriously.
Hoary hosts of Deadpool, please, Coy, just let it stop. Please, just don't make me reference anything else.
Daddy needs to express some rage.
Wow, rage for that. Excelsior DR, Marvel Marvelites, welcome to our 7th show of the year 2015-17. We're on the Marvel Movie News, coming to you live from Deadpool's chimichanga truck. I changed it just for you. Where we tell you all the news from all the series and why you should be excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Marvel Movie News, or find us through the Popcorn Talk Network, YouTube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through the Popcorn Talk's website, PopcornTalkNetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News BTM, Facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, and guys, if you'll tweet a link out to our show telling people in the live chat, the voice of Doom will retweet you. I'm Matt Key at the Matt Key. Meredith.
At M Placco.
Coy.
I'm Coy Jandro at Coy Jandro.
That's there. There.
Are you auditioning for the 10 minutes? I feel like you're auditioning for the micro machine.
Oh my god, that guy was awesome, wasn't
right?
he?
No, he's the guy that reads what symptoms you get if they last longer than 4 hours. You have to consult a doctor.
No, since it took, like, we did that gag, I want to get in, like, it's 3 minutes. I want to get in the news and everything. Plus, we've got, Skibidibop, we've got some friends here today.
Yay, friends!
Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? We've got some heralds on the cosmic couch!
I'm Darren Jakes.
I'm River Jakes.
And I'm Carolyn Jakes.
Welcome to the show, guys. And you have a spa in Pasadena.
We have a spa in Pasadena named Côte d'Azur. And Matt was one of our guests over the weekend.
Ooh. Matt and my fiance Brittany.
Yes, yeah. Lovely lady. Lovely lady. Both have...
Thank you. I think so. And you guys gave us the royal treatment, and it was fantastic. And...
We aim to spoil you terribly when you come in.
Oh, you did. You succeeded, and your aims were met with success. And now, the other two, it's
the anti-Weapon X situation.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Every scene in that movie, the opposite is what is the goal.
Good.
Yeah, okay. No, and it's success. Like, it's the opposite of torture.
Okay, good.
It's the exact opposite of torture.
It's all you can shoot for, really.
So, anyway, welcome to our show. Welcome.
Yay!
Welcome, everyone out there. Yeah. We're also an audio podcast, so if you want to drive around and listen to us there, you can do that. Or watch us here on YouTube. Mm-hmm.
We also have a really special guest coming in later.
We do. Do you want to tell people about him?
Oh, yeah. So, if you guys went out and saw Deadpool...
if you didn't, you shouldn't
shame
be watching
on you.
This show.
You shouldn't, because we're going to spoil it. But we have Hugh Scott joining us, and Hugh Scott played the role of Deadpool's one and only friend while he was
Cunningham.
In...
Yeah, his Cunningham. Last name is Cunningham.
Yeah, it was Cunningham in the Weapon X program, but it actually is the role of Worm from the comics. Yeah. So Hugh Scott will be joining us from the film a little bit later on, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, he'll be here around 2:30, so we've got about 40 minutes to talk about Daredevil and
Guardians.
Deadpool and Guardians. So let's... Yeah.
And some Deadpool. We don't need to wait for this man. I'm excited.
No. We're
containing that man.
Skip it up.
Okay.
We good? We're moving on to Daredevil. We're going to start with Daredevil.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Look, there's only two lines on the Daredevil talk deck.
Yeah, those aren't hyperlinks.
Those lines could mean anything.
So Daredevil trailer dropped on Monday.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. I know we've got some pictures to show. Did you not see it?
No, I did like 25 times.
Right?
Which is,
well, if you saw it so many times, like, tell us about it. What were your initial impressions?
Amazing. Like, okay, no, I mean, basically, okay, so Daredevil aside, because, I mean, I'm excited, but this is the Punisher I've been waiting for. Like,
right?
I'm like, cool, Daredevil, whatever. But, oh my God, we're finally getting the Punisher I've always wanted. Like, oh man, he is just Grillo's.
He
is Punisher.
Yeah,
in every way, and I mean, every little beat, every little nod, every little like moment in it is Punisher brought to life.
Yeah,
and it's going to be darker than before. It's going to be the stakes feel real. They feel personal, and I mean that last nod though. They show the title screen and she comes back, or he comes back, and Elektra's right there.
Oh, so good. It's so good. And then the fact that they immediately follow that with trailer part two. 2/25/16.
Just in a couple more days, guys.
Like, we've waited so long for any footage, and then they still made it cryptic footage, and then they announced at the end of their cryptic footage it was part one of two. Like, the marketing is so smart.
Well, and, like, on top of that, they're like, here's cryptic footage. Like, it's giving you, like, an idea of the tone. It's giving you an idea of kind of what Punisher's going through.
Yeah.
Very, very vague, though. And then they're like, oh, by the way, we've got enough stuff to give you a second vague trailer about
Marvel
Elektra.
Marvel owns the year now. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, like, February. Deadpool is, that's the only thing important. And, like, I mean, no offense to football and things, but, like, the only thing people have been talking about is Deadpool.
Well, that game was pretty terrible.
That game was hard to get through.
I mean,
that was a rough time.
I mean, congrats Broncos. And
it was Broncos killed it, and that was great. But,
then March is like, I mean, I was excited for Daredevil, like, very excited. Mm-hmm. Like, 8 out of 10 excited. That trailer just put it over the top. Like, I'm so excited.
By the way, and we talked about this on the Fat Man podcast with Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin, but like, it was so funny that DC's like, all right, I know you're all excited about Deadpool, but don't forget we've got this Dawn of Justice trailer, and everyone's like, oh my God, that's a good trailer.
Yeah.
Deadpool comes out, has owned the summer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, in like, February.
In February,
I know.
They're like,
oh,
you've got that cute little
R.
season? Oh. Okay, whatever. Yeah, we're gonna own the winter with this rated R thing called Deadpool. And then before DC and Warner Brothers can even catch their breath, Netflix and Marvel are like,
We should probably put it out. It's time.
And it's a very similar concept. You've got a street level vigilante who's fighting another hero who has like an opposing worldview.
Punisher's
not street level. He's a cosmic level.
Marvel's the street level.
Let's break this trailer down. Okay, so first off, we have Karen Page questioning if they've created the monster that is Punisher. That is what they're asking. But the trailer seems to think that, you know, somehow we know Punisher has lost his child, his family. But it looks like that Punisher doesn't seem to blame Daredevil. He's blaming the criminal element that Daredevil doesn't have the, for all intents and purposes, the balls to kill, to do the final
act.
It calls him a half measure. No half measures. Tell me where that quote came from. And then we have, you know, obviously we also have his best friend Foggy, asking if he spilled enough blood.
Yeah.
You know, haven't we done enough of this? So already at this trailer, we're setting up Matt's family. We're setting up, you know, he has this relationship with Karen that's developing. We're showing that the stakes are here, that, you know, he has these people that he cares about, that care about him, and now suddenly this other extreme vigilante comes in, and he wants not just justice, but he wants revenge.
Yeah.
Where Daredevil's about justice, Punisher is about revenge.
Yeah, well, and Punisher, like, not only that, like, I think it is, like, very much, mm-hmm. you're a half measure. Like, you, like, he even has that line where he says, like, you hit him and they get back up. I hit him and they stay down.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's his thing. And I honestly wonder if, like, Punisher is going to find out that Matt Murdock did have, like, the criminals that killed his family had them, like, tried to put them through the system and then they got back out. I almost wonder if, like, there's going to be an element of, like,
courtroom
Punisher
scene.
Yeah.
is, like, You could have stopped him, and they killed my family. Like, I think that could happen.
I would like to see that.
I mean, how dramatic would that be?
The live chat keeps asking if we think we'll see Matt Murdock in the courtroom. I think absolutely this season.
I would really like that.
I mean, we saw him last season. Why would we not?
Yeah. Yeah. I also think that the idea of half measures released in the trailer was a great way to set up without revealing too much, like the broad scope of the season.
Yeah.
Like that gave away, like the pretty much the theme of their you know their tension without showing us anything.
Yeah.
I've been, ever since Deadpool, been all about this, like, marketing that's super contained and everything else, because now we're going into 13 hours knowing 10 minutes.
Yeah.
With two trailers. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, some of the other interviews have said, like, the first episode has Daredevil up against Punisher. Like,
awesome.
He's, nice. Like, he appears in the first episode, so, like, we, like, get right into it. And, I mean, this Punisher looks... He looks mean. Like, John Bernthal, like, that one shot of him, like, with blood all over his face.
Yeah.
I think I pulled it for the show, but, like...
Oh, Bernthal. I called him Grillo earlier. I was confusing him with Crossbones. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, John Bernthal, like, with the blood on his face, and it just looks so intense, and then there's the shot... Like, they have a couple shots of the crime scene, and you can see, like, just how devastating, he, like, this hero is. Like, blood and dead guys that are, like, just, like, leaving a path, like, very blatantly. And oh my god,
it's great, and got that new suit. It's definitely very. It's interesting. We're definitely going very Frank Miller with the suit, and we're going also Frank Miller with the bat suit.
Yeah.
So we.
I would prefer a little bit more red on the suit. There's a lot of black.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
that is so nitpicky. That's
I know.
I want a blueberry cotton candy.
But think about the real life. Modern day.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, too much red is going to really, you know.
He also doesn't have, like...
Yeah.
I like it as a smush face this season.
Where Deadpool comes out and says, you know, I have the bright red so they can't see me bleed. This is a little bit more realistic and such, you know.
He wore the brown pants.
He got the right idea. He wore the brown pants. How about the hallway fight scene? Do you guys...
Right? Oh, so good.
Right? Like, and all we saw was, like, a brief little glimpse, but we have, like, the shot and the silhouette. And, okay, so he's got the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his billy club, or is that just, like, he ripped a chain off a wall and he's just using it to whip some dudes? Because, like, there's some people who are like, no, it's, like, he's got the cane and, like, he can separate it now. We might see him swinging around.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense, escalation-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to have the hero, like, evolve.
Maybe, but, like, I can't help but wonder if it's just, like, the chain. Because we see him also chained up. There's a scene where he's chained up in a picture, one of the pictures where he's chained up. Then the teaser that just came out today where he's, like, chained against the brick wall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's all the explosions going off.
Like, I think that's, like, based on that Steve Dillon art where he's, like, on the roof. But, like...
It might see the evolution as to where he gets the billy clubs with the chain. It might be a nod. They might not ever go that route, but it might be a nice nod to it.
You know what might be interesting is if they treat the billy club with the rope and his swinging and everything the same way that they treated his suit... And we get that towards the end of the season.
I'll make that the arc. That'd be cool. I mean, and him learning to fight with it, and I'd love to have more stick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some more stick?
More stick.
Yeah. All right, I'm not going to touch that one.
Sometimes you just need more stick.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think one thing they did, it might be a part of an evolution as well, because remember when he had the first costume and he roped up the hands? He was tied up, and then he grabbed those... And use that around, and that was like the next level of the suit. So this might be something where he finds the chain, and then it starts getting incorporated.
And he evolves with it.
He's like, oh, yeah.
He learns to fight with
this.
The weapon. Yeah,
exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And he might even bring it to the warrior, the
gladiator.
Chain. Yeah, gladiator, and like have him modify it and stuff. I'm curious their relationship this season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and also like, I mean, we've seen. Oh yeah, you pulled the image. That's well done, Voice of Doom. The Voice of Doom is amazing. But yeah, and all the images that we're talking about, the trailer and everything else, is on a link at geekgirlauthority.com, site that I write for. So you can follow our show there if you need those pictures or the trailer if you haven't seen it yet. Also, one last thing I want to ask you guys about. What? So Daredevil's hood, like you see a picture of his hood, his helmet, and it's got like a crack in it that's stitched up. Like, I mean, that gets shattered at some point, right?
Right.
Like
he has to
stitch it up. Yeah. All right.
Cool. Punisher, he's involved.
Yeah.
Or Elektra.
Or Elektra.
I think it's gonna be a Punisher thing.
I think it might be Punisher.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm gonna put a little money on Elektra. By money, I mean no money, just talk.
Also, I think, and I freeze framed it, but I had a hard time taking a picture of it. I think he might be in the trailer.
After blind?
Matt Murdock is blind.
Newsflash.
Spoilers. Come on.
Season 2 reveal. Shine on twist.
I thought you said shine on twist. I was like, is that a friend?
It's your new nickname.
No, Shyamalan. I get it.
More stick.
More stick. Courtney's more stick. In the trailer, after the hallway scene, there's a scene of him in like the red lights, and then he jumps down. I think he's fighting Melvin Potter. I think he's fighting Gladiator there.
Interesting.
I would love for you guys to go like eagle eye that for me.
I was wondering if we had gotten a quick bullseye nod.
Oh my god,
that's what I was wondering.
Like if they hide that. If
Bullseye's in this season,
that,
I don't want to know until I see it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Just like Spider-Man. I don't want to see a frame of Spider-Man until that movie's out. I don't want to see a toy. I don't want to see a trailer sneak. I want maybe at the swing by like we talked about, but I want Spidey to be like, here's my money. I've earned this.
Yeah. They humanize Punisher. You feel bad for him. They show the picture of him with his little girl, like, or the picture of him holding his little girl. Mm-hmm. Then at the carousel, and he's just like, it's so heartbreaking. So like when you see him doing all these heinous, murderous acts, you're like, poor man.
But yeah, in 2 minutes they painted an amazing picture of Punisher.
And you know he's only going after the bad guys, though. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't think he's actively trying to put down Daredevil, but he's definitely trying to keep Daredevil off him so he can go complete his mission.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's like, this is the series that I want Batman versus Superman to be. Like, this is the relationship that I want it to be. You know, because I'm a huge fan of the Batman versus Superman comic.
Yeah.
It's one of the best stories in comics.
It is. It's amazing.
You know, I'm actually going to give it to DC. I've always seen DC as the gods and Marvel as the underdogs.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with the giant dichotomy because of the way Zack Snyder's making his films. I think without the scope of Superman and Batman v Superman, it might get too similar and the bubble of superhero might pop sooner. Because the fact that we have the Netflix street level and the fact that we have the giant scope of DC allows the flexibility to have 10 movies come out a year without it feeling stale. I'm going to give them the benefit of it looks silly at points, but I think that silliness is kind of required to allow this genre to exist in such a large scope.
That's fair, and I'll say the only reason I'm not jazzing on BVS right now is that it's Frank Miller's Batman with New 52 Superman.
Right, that's a funky flavor.
That's just my but I'm gonna go see it anyways because everything about Wonder Woman looks fantastic.
That Batman fight in the new trailer.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah, the new trailer sold it to me.
That should have been the only trailer, and I've been like, here's all my money. Yeah.
And I'm oddly enjoying the new Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Characterization. Like, I like him, but it just reminds me of Max, so that's why I love it.
Do you guys have anything you want to say about the Daredevil trailer before we skibbity-bop?
No, I have to agree. I think they've done a great job of giving us very little, but still keeping us excited, even with the stop-motion kind of poster thing they did for the Chinese New Year and such.
Oh, yeah.
Really excited.
They're just doing so good keeping it contained. Everything's so, because they know they have a market. They know they already have an audience.
Well, like, that's it. And I think they've gotten feedback that people necessarily don't want to see too much. You want to get the idea and the flavor, but don't show us everything.
I'd rather read the back of a book cover.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I go into it. This is the back of the book cover. Now give me 13 hours and new.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good way to put it. All right. Let's move on to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, shall we?
Let's.
Where this week. And again, like, this is played so brilliantly. Like, by the way, just think about what we've had the last 2 weeks in terms of news. Not a lot. Because everyone's like, all right, we're going up to Daredevil or to Deadpool. We're going to get there. Like, you'll have, like, a little tidbit of something here and there. But it was Deadpool's time. And, like, everyone knew that.
Yeah.
And, like, Dawn of Justice was like, here's a new trailer. But we've already forgotten about, like, we're talking about it now, but like, it's more or less forgotten about. Yeah. It's like been rolled over by so many other things. Like, our excitement has moved on to other stuff. And what I think is brilliant because about what Marvel has done is like, yeah, that's very true.
It's also interesting that we live in it. Remember Wizard magazine? I loved when that was in print. Yeah. Wizard was great, but we'd theorize for a year about who might play something. Now we have so much superhero stuff that in a week we have to go and skip over news because there's already new news because there's so much content.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up, by the way, because there are other stories that we wanted to talk about today, but we wanted to leave room for the Deadpool review and everything else. So there was a Chiwetel Ejiofor talked about Baron Mordo. Joe Robert Cole, who's writing for Black Panther, had some quotes that I pulled. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is bringing in Absorbing Man and the Secret Warriors. They just cast a new lead or a new series regular with Yo-Yo Rodriguez and the Slingshot. But we're going to talk about all that next week on top of whatever other news comes out. We wanted to focus just on these stories today. So
Agent Carter is probably being FYI. Canceled.
Yeah, sadly. So anyway, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 came out, like, some big news came out. So we had the Daredevil trailer, then the next day it's like, oh, and here's Guardians. It's just like, everyone forget about Dawn of Justice, here's Marvel. Spadoom.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell, confirmed. He's been rumored. We still don't know what role he is, but he's confirmed. And we don't know that he's Star-Lord's dad, though it was rumored back in, like,
his hateful eight mustache looks real ego-like.
Yeah. I don't think he's ego.
How amazing would it be if it's just that mustache on a planet?
I know.
I really want Pacino nothing to else. Be ego
no, Pacino's
so
the dream,
badly.
Yeah. But the mustache.
The mustache.
The mustache on a planet?
The,
sold.
I will say, I was reading, and I am so, so sorry for forgetting the name of the publication, but I was reading a... Argentinian magazine article that did say that Kurt Russell would be playing Star-Lord's father, and that's where a couple of the blog sites that have been saying, like, oh, it's confirmed that he's Star-Lord's dad has been crediting that one.
Okay.
So I don't know where that magazine actually got it from, but I do know sometimes foreign magazines will get things confirmed prior to English ones. So I don't, and I wish I had found that again, because it was just honestly something I was scrolling through while in... Well, I was just on the road yesterday. Not that I was driving and on my phone at all.
Comic cops.
Yeah, so I don't know how true that is, but I will look into that. I've been waiting for a text back, but nothing yet.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay.
But I'm excited.
But he is confirmed.
Confirmed. He's going to be in it regardless if he's ego, his someone's dad, if he's just going to be a cool random cameo. He could just be a cameo. Could
Pedestrian 7, Kurt Russell.
He just like...
Sasquatch walks by in camera.
I don't know. He could
be
like
no, he has to the hands.
Sentry. I don't know.
Oh man,
Kurt Russell is Sentry.
Sentry.
He's Nova. He's
Nova.
Young, 20-year-old Nova. Yeah. Kurt Russell, a lot of range.
I really do not think it's a stretch to believe that Kurt Russell is going to be Star-Lord's dad.
No,
I really don't think that. I think that's pretty much. I mean, you get a star of that like star power, that powerful of an actor. James Gunn said, like, when he was a kid, like, he was one of his favorite actors in some of his favorite movies. Like, James Gunn, as a director, went after him. Like, he was the choice that James Gunn made for a role. I think it's his dad.
The question is who is Star-Lord's dad going to be in this continuity? The big question.
I am holding to, if Marvel retains the rights to the Stranger, I think that would be an interesting one.
Be a great choice.
Yeah.
But I really think he's probably one of the Eternals.
Which would also be fun for Star-Lord's father.
Yeah.
Mentor is the only one that I can remember, but I think Mentor was Thanos' dad, and that would be interesting if Star-Lord and Thanos were like half brothers in some way.
I like that a lot.
Not in comics, but in the movie universe, that
why
would
not?
Be pretty interesting, you know. And like they live forever. He's like I don't know. Like I
that makes sense for him being able to contain the Infinity Stone for a moment. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah,
but Eternals aren't necessarily like cosmic level.
But we haven't established
like
them
that.
In the Marvel Universe.
We have not.
In the film universe.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what they are in the comics as long as they establish. Because the cosmic universe especially, you have a lot more wiggle room. Because it's hard to define even in words in the comics, much less in the films. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell for Uncle Ben.
Oh, my God.
As Star-Lord's dad.
Uncle Ben is Star-Lord's dad.
Aunt May. Very busy. Yeah. Very busy woman.
Very busy woman. Yeah.
There's a lot of things to do.
Anyway, that's my... Do you guys have any thoughts on who it could be outside of what I've said?
Besides Uncle
and
Ben.
And Ego, like, because I don't think Ego is going to engage in intercourse with
I'm literally casting him entirely off of mustache. So
yeah,
that's...
I, I mean, knowing
fan casting his mustache,
knowing that they're going to be keeping the cast somewhat small and not mm-hmm. a huge one, I can't see them bringing in any new characters at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's interesting is that they did mention two new other actors that are being pulled in that we didn't know about. So I'm curious as to what roles they're going to be playing, because I don't see them opening up the cast much larger.
You're talking about Elizabeth Debicki
and Chris Sullivan.
And Debicki was in The Great Gatsby. She was like one of the best friend, best girlfriend characters. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Sullivan, I think, plays the ambulance runner, because in the Nick, they didn't have cars, so he's pulling the ambulance behind him more or less, or horse and buggy. But I think they're probably going to be smaller roles. I don't think they're going to be Marvel. I think they're going to be the Nova Corps or something like that. Mm-hmm. They'll have recognizable roles,
or they'll be
but
Mantis's parents in a flashback or something.
Yeah,
who knows?
I think it'll be they're named roles, I don't think that they're big Marvel characters. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's Elizabeth Debicki is Gamora's sister.
I feel like at this point Kurt Russell's got to be whoever Star-Lord's dad is, and I am curious to see what they're going to do with Debicki and Sullivan, because I can't even begin to think who else they're going to bring in.
It could be a surprise, and Kurt Russell could be the villain.
Well, that's the other thing, is that they're saying Star-Lord's dad is going to turn out to be the villain.
Yeah.
Right, but that could be an interesting way to, not reveal anything. That could be the Luke, I am your father moment.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is set in space.
Yeah, that's true.
True.
But yeah, I don't think, Elizabeth Debicki's going to be a Quasar or anything
right.
that.
Right.
I think she's I'm a Nova cop.
Quietly as Captain Marvel.
Oh. What? Oh. Can we get the picture of Elizabeth Debicki up?
What they...
Quietly as Captain Marvel.
Would they?
They might. That could happen, because she is Kree related.
Oh, I'm just kicking Nathan's face.
Oh man!
Right, that's what I was thinking.
She could be Carol Danvers,
right? And that'd be
There's
a great
pee coming out of me right now.
Wow!
What a great way to do it.
Wow!
Sneaky, sneaky.
Holy!
And her movie would come out 2019.
Perfect timing to establish the character, have a small part, set in this universe, introduce. Just saying. That's what I'd do.
Oh, man. That's not a bad idea.
That I would not
have... blew my mind wide open.
Not who...
Coach Andrew.
I love unknowns. I love giving actors a chance. She looks the right...
And she was, she was great in Gatsby.
Right. She's talented. She looks perfect. It's
she was
in
The Man from
Uncle? Introduce her. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do.
Yeah.
Ooh,
and she was Lady Macduff in Macbeth. Oh, my God. She was so fantastic.
Don't say that on our show. Can't
it's a theater.
Now our theater's going to burn down, Meredith.
What were you thinking?
I think Mickey that's B. a great idea with Carol Danvers, but didn't James Gunn already make an implication that he didn't want any more humans in his...
Maybe she's half Kree.
Okay. Well, no, I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
It'd be a great way to have a twist.
Though I feel like someone say they wouldn't be... Well, who cares what they say? They're not going to put it in there. Oh, my God. I'd be okay with this. I'd be okay with her as...
I would totally be okay with her.
That's what I'd do.
Yeah.
I would totally be okay with her as... Captain
she's
Lawful.
So interesting looking.
She's not she's very, very pretty, but she's not boring pretty.
No.
She's not just a girl. She's very interesting. She's talented.
Yeah.
It's the right time to introduce her. It's the right way to introduce her. I'm just saying, it's what I'd do.
Yeah.
She has such a diverse look. She could either do Carol Danvers, or they could give her a really cool alien role.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh no,
I am super
sorry to shock you guys into confusion.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's my goal.
Okay. Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. All right. Moving on.
Wow. You silenced me. All right.
Yeah.
Pom Clementiev was confirmed as Mantis.
In news I thought we already knew.
Well, it was never confirmed. It was all rumors. But James Gunn tweeted out that that's the only thing he'd like. Was like, oh, by the way, she's Mantis, but you're going to have to wait for everyone else. And again, man, Elizabeth Debicki is Carol Danvers. Wow. All right.
We didn't even talk about Deadpool the rest of the episode. Yeah. Matt's just like...
I can see it. I can totally see it.
I have a question to our listeners and viewers. If any of you are great at Photoshop, do you think one of you could tweet us out a picture of your Photoshop mastery as Elizabeth, or with Elizabeth Debicki as Carol Danvers? I'd like
to
see this.
It'd be cool if I accidentally called this 2 years early.
Yeah. That would be amazing. What do you guys think?
I think that would be a brilliant way of introducing the character, because it's not something that a lot of the general population knows about. I mean, the fans do, but not. So that way is a way you can sort of introduce the character, and you can't I don't know. There's so many that would be going into Infinity War. And yeah. Stuff, and you don't want to overload that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think it would be a nice way to just sort of just a little taste.
And everyone's seeing Guardians.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then we can just waiting and with anticipation.
What if? That's a good Coy. That's why we have you on. It's not just for your pretty face. So Pom Klementieff is confirmed as Mantis. Just a brief update on who she is for those of you who may have missed that episode that we did a couple months ago. Mantis is like a really weird character too. Like, yes. She was from the late 60s. She was the priest of Pama. Mm-hmm. She was seen as a candidate to be the Celestial Madonna, then ended up being the Celestial mm-hmm. Madonna. She went through training, received martial arts training. She has proven herself to be a precog. She has precognition in some ways, telepathic, and she has, I think what they call it, chlorokinesis, where she can control plant life.
Yeah, like poison ivy.
And I think that having baby Groot is how they're going to get to Mantis, because mm-hmm. they're going to go to Mantis and say, we hear that you have this power. Can you help him? And she'll be like, sure, scoop. And then we'll have, like, I think we'll have baby Groot for a little while, but then she'll help him become the bigger guy.
I think her reaction exactly.
Yeah.
What?
Do you like Baby Groot?
Yeah.
Is he your favorite?
Yeah.
Can you dance like him?
What?
Can you dance like Baby Groot?
I forgot how he danced. It was like,
aww.
Like that. We've got our very own Baby Groot.
Yeah.
Because yep, Drax looks.
That's so cute.
Drax is looking.
Yeah. This is Exhibit A of smart. Like crossover mm-hmm. Disney because yep. Marvel and Disney yep. making yep. little Baby Groot toys.
Oh, I know,
real smart.
I love it.
We also we want to get to Deadpool, but we've got our first summary synopsis of the plot, and this is all it says. Set to the all-new Sonic backdrop of Awesome Mixtape Number 2, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 continues the team's adventures as they unravel the mystery of Peter Quill's true parentage.
So the opening line of the synopsis is, the music's going to be bitchin'.
Yeah.
Like, literally, yeah. the movie, yeah. oh, the like, oh, it's going to be a good movie. Also, soundtrack. That's amazing, because they, yeah. yeah. they know we're
That's
all going to see
yeah.
it.
Yeah, we know. We all amazing. Want the soundtrack.
Speaking of, I just want to throw this out there. We got tweeted the question from... at Dark Kier, if you could pick one song to go on the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 soundtrack, what would you pick? Man. He'd go for Wired by Cliff Richard.
Okay.
Not too familiar with it. I was thinking Brandy by Looking Glass. Because I've seen this question. I'm just not... I'm sorry to, like... I had time to think. I'm just throwing this out there
yeah.
at you guys.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So, sorry to put you on the spot. But do you guys... I mean, again, throwing you on the spot. What do you think?
That's a tough one. I mean, the first thing that came up kind of time-wise for me was, oh, God, now it's already...
Can you hum it?
No, the Devo song I just mentioned a little bit
Whip
before.
It?
Whip It, thank you.
Oh, Whip
An easy
yeah.
title to
yeah.
remember.
Whip It wouldn't be too
play.
Bad.
Mm-hmm.
What it's... about, like, Lowrider or Spill the Wine? What
yeah.
was that song called Spill the Wine?
It's yeah. about 6 years too late chronologically, but man, I want some good vibrations. Marky Mark's Good Vibrations with Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All about it.
I'm going to go with... I have two. I'm going to go with Pink Floyd. Comfortably Numb would be good.
Oh my god,
yeah.
like the Milano?
Yeah.
Oh,
flying, that'd
like,
be great.
Flying around Ego, like, mm-hmm. Comfortably Numb.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah,
but
that's awesome.
It's going back earlier, to the earlier 70s, but, you know, throwing in some David Bowie Starman, that might
Ooh.
Be too on point, or even throwing Ziggy
yeah.
Stardust.
Oh
so,
yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Deadpool. We've got Hugh coming.
It's time.
Yeah.
Coy, go.
Okay, so... You guys know that for all year of here, I've been that excited for Deadpool.
You've been that guy.
I've been that guy. I've been that guy to the point where I have this week sold 20 tickets of just people overhearing me at coffee shops and food places, then patting me and thanking me for talking about it so loudly that they went and bought tickets. I literally sold at least 20 tickets to Deadpool this week by just being excited at people in front
nice.
Of me. It was better than I hoped. Somehow, I can't even quantify, like, I left the theater being like, good, that was what I wanted. And then, like, as days progressed, I got more excited, and it, like, settled in like a fine wine. Like, the palate was perfect. Like, the more I thought about it, the happier I got, and it had all the cameos I wanted, it had the jokes I wanted, it had the tone I wanted, it was it was an origin story that needed to happen so they can move on. It set up a new universe well. It did the soft reboot thing I wanted it to do. It was as funny as it needed to be. It was shot better than I expected. The first time director did an incredible job. It was heartwarming. I, like, cared about their relationship. I did not. I expected that to be, like, a little twinkling aside note. I expected, like, a 2-minute, like, meh. But I got, like, oh. And the whole time, it was these jokes that were brilliantly sophomoric, so juvenile, but not cloying. Like, at no point was I, like, nah. Like, I didn't get overwhelmed. I need to see it again already. And it was Deadpool, most importantly. That movie was pulled out of the pages, put on screen, and they accomplished Ryan Reynolds' dream, my dream. They made a Deadpool movie, and they did it right, and they fixed everything I've ever been mad about Fox about. I could have 10 more Fantastic Fours as long as there's another Deadpool, and I'm okay with that. Thank you, Fox. Thank you.
Wow. I think you rehearsed that.
Like, that was all. I didn't even think about it. That was just coming out. That was just, wow. As I pictured the movie, that just emerged.
Well, audience, well,
that was 2 hours of sleep and me going, I have to talk about Deadpool today. Where do I get it from?
The box office was incredible.
Oh my gosh.
The movie, by the way, $58 million to make. Like, that's
seven to market.
That is the key. That's the key number here. 58 to make, because the global total by Monday night was 284.
Right. That's five
insane.
Times.
That is insane.
It beat The Matrix. Remember, we actually joked about, like, number one R-rated movie, The Matrix, and then it beat The Matrix.
Then
and it came out in February.
It was the biggest R-rated opening weekend ever. Biggest Fox debut ever, and the eighth biggest Sunday gross ever.
Did you see my Sunday tweet that was just lists of the records?
Nice.
Yeah. Like, irregardless of it being rated R or anything, eighth biggest Sunday gross ever.
Mm-hmm.
Which has to make it, like, one of the biggest Valentine's Day movies.
Oh, ever. No, it's the biggest February.
Yeah. It totally took what we think about February films and spun them on its head. Because normally the industry kind of puts rom-coms and not good movies out in February because we think they'll fail. And
it did something I didn't expect it to, as far as, like, it was super pro-relationship, pro-woman, pro...
Yeah.
It was a 2016... Okay, I'm super against PC stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm super against the sensitivity of man right now. I hate the fact that it's like, oh, we need a white guy for this role. No, we should get an Asian guy because he knows karate. No, if he's a white guy in the comics, I think we should look at both options. We shouldn't do it just because we need... Because that's racist to me, is forcing racism. So I think it did what 2016 needs to do by having the choices be made for the sake of the story, but making them come from the heart.
Yeah.
Like, it was a good love story told through sex scenes. There was a montage of sex, and it was pro-love. Like, you told a love story with people boning and made that heartfelt? How do you do that? And it was also, I'm sorry, there's a child here, but it was also super pro-sex. And I haven't seen a movie be like, hey, this is an important thing.
Healthy-wise.
These people love each other.
It wasn't like pornographic or anything like that. It was like,
these people love each other. This is what love looks like. That's amazing. And that's what we need. And $284 million worth of people saw that. And I hope that brings awareness to that. And there was a gay joke that didn't feel wrong.
No.
Like, it didn't feel like it was like pandering. It was like, heart spots. What?
It was so good.
There's so much. It made everyone happy, and everyone should see it.
It really was.
Play it in schools.
It was really the best rom-com ever.
Yeah.
It was. That billboard didn't lie.
It didn't.
Yeah. It didn't.
And by the way, and I think this is a very important thing for the studios to take away from this, and hopefully they will, 48% of the audience, female.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, the studios are like, nah, women usually don't like this kind of stuff. Like, part of the projections against Deadpool were that, well, it's Valentine's Day, they're going to want to go see the romantic comedies.
Cut to the choice being, like, vacant nationwide.
Yeah, I'm sure they had people go see them. But, like, 48% of the audience that the studios were like, oh, this will be 75% male.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
And our lead woman was never weak. Our lead woman never had to be, like, damsel in distress.
Yeah,
I'll say this. I was in Arizona at Amazing Arizona Con, where we went to go see it. A rather conservative state, as I was reminded. but great people in Phoenix. I love it. My mother grew up there. But our theater, which happened to host Rob Liefeld as well, half and half. Women, men. It was mostly couples.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So it was a wonderful couples film. It was a wonderful, great film. Everyone there loved it. Everyone enjoyed it. Most of the, like, half my friends that were there were kind of dragging their boyfriends, myself included, because my boyfriend, who doesn't read comics, hates Deadpool, by the way. It was like, oh, I can't, you know, he doesn't like Deadpool cosplayers. He doesn't like characters that break the fourth wall. Walked out, was like, that was amazing. I want to go see it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, we've got Hugh here.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to bring him in like 2 or 3 minutes. Wanted to throw out real quick, Wolverine 3 is saying that they're going to be rated R. A lot of people are thinking that's the influence of Deadpool, and maybe it is, but a lot of it's coming from a picture that was released at a toy fair. That stuff would have been decided a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So it's possible that Fox was seeing how well Deadpool was tracking with them.
Wolverine needs to be rated R, though, to be honest. I think they've done great with Wolverine not being rated R up until this point.
I agree, but like, if we can do it,
But why?
Because it's his last movie.
I think Wolverine's an R-rated character. I mean, they haven't... I'd love to see Hugh Jackman get the opportunity to be an R-rated Wolverine.
I'll give them this. If we can have him... kill like he should.
Right. A preserve the rage. Like an actual
woman like he should. Woman, you know, woman and booze like he should. Then right. I want that.
Yeah.
I do want to see that. Because I want to see Logan slumped in a corner.
With a beer.
With a beer saying, are you a beer?
Yeah.
Because that's my favorite scene.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I want
Skibby it up. Skibby it up.
Sorry.
X-Force is going to be rated R.
And that needs to
probably,
be.
Probably. And that should
needs
be.
To
that
be.
Should be. Stephen Lang is trying to be Cable. Like, there's a great picture of him working out. Stephen Lang, by the way, is, he looks like he could be Cable, and he has no sense of humor.
Now, real quick, who is Stephen Lang for those who...
Stephen Lang was the bad guy in Avatar. Like, he was, like, the military, like, the militant guy, like, oh!
Oh, not the Last Airbender.
Anyway, guys, we're gonna disappear for, like, a minute and a half. We're going to bring Hugh in here. We're not going anywhere, but our mics are going to be off. We're going to set him up real quick, and you're just going to see, like, Marvel movie news on your screen. But we will be back in a minute. So use this to go get that beer and slump in the corner, like Meredith wants Wolverine to do. And we'll be back in 1 minute, and with Hugh Scott!
Woo!
Sexy motherfucker.
All right, and we are back with you, Scott.
Are we back?
Yes.
Yeah. Are we back? We're back. We're back.
Manifested a human.
I know.
Just brought it to life.
You guys are back. I've arrived. I'm excited. I feel like I won a contest on the radio.
You've been here the whole time.
I've been here.
Yeah. I started out laying on the floor. You were next to me. We were like,
yeah, you guys were spooning at the very beginning. Yeah. Yeah.
That did happen. I can say that with 100% authenticity.
Hugh Scott. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Giving us your presence.
Yes, yes, you're welcome.
So, you were in Deadpool. You were in a little movie called Deadpool.
A little movie called Deadpool, a teeny tiny indie film that we're hoping it's got legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What's funny, you say that, and we say it in irony, but like in reality, it kind of wasn't. It was like the indie film. It's as indie a film as superhero film can be, right? Like
definitely. Mm-hmm. It's definitely as indie as Marvel gets and as underground as Marvel gets, mm-hmm. and the wild success of it could not have been predicted.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone saw it coming except for the fans. They knew all along.
I mean, yeah, us included, we're like, oh, this is going to be a great movie. Like, it's going to do really well at the box office. But even we were like, oh, it'll probably do like the projections are 70 million. That feels about right.
Yeah. I said 69 to 77 million. That was my estimate. And I thought I was being ambitious, and I thought John Schnepp saying 100, I was like, man, I want to live in a world where it makes 100 million. And then it was just like, how about triple that soon?
Yeah. They blew that out of the water. Insane. You were way low.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I was so happy to be wrong.
Yeah. No, we had so many fans tweeting at us like, you guys were so wrong. And I was like, I'm happy that I was like, I've never been like happier to have been so wrong. Like,
right.
Yeah.
It feels good to be wrong, and we're not running for president. Here. We don't have to say no. Yeah. We don't have to lie about it. Yeah. We can just admit it.
Tell us, how did this come about? You was it pretty typical? Like, I went in for an audition and you booked it, and that was in, or like how did it work? Like, this is so exciting.
I had a slide in. The casting director knows my work pretty well.
Yeah.
She'd put me in another movie, and I sometimes help out in the office when they have bigger projects and they need a reader. I got the audition on a Tuesday, I think. I went in the next Wednesday morning. Obviously, I did whatever research I could on Deadpool that didn't involve learning my lines. Went in, was like, wow, that was exciting to go out for a big movie. I don't always go out for big movies every single day of my life. What an awesome opportunity. And completely tossed it, forgot about it. I get a call about 2 weeks later out of the blue. You're the choice.
Oh.
You're the choice. And I was like, wow, that's exciting. But we need to confirm it. We need to get it approved at the studio level. And that was 7 days. My girlfriend will tell you I was a wreck.
Oh, yeah.
I was a wreck. I was like, I'm going to go wipe down the sink. 5 minutes later, I'm going to go wipe down the sink again. Everybody stares at their phone too much. No. I stared at my phone every 15 seconds for those 10 days. And then
cleaning
I finally
with Ajax
got the
call. And being like, it's Ajax.
Cleaning with Ajax. Good one.
It's a sign.
It's a sign.
Congratulations, man. And you were terrific. Like, you had a memorable role. Mm-hmm. Like in a movie with like Ryan Reynolds, you had a memorable role. Like, that's gotta feel good.
It definitely feels good. I'm proud of all the acting work I've done, but this is by far the biggest, and I am taking the time to enjoy it. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's awesome. So we were talking before the show. Some of us obviously love Deadpool far more than others.
Who's the more serious fan?
He's a giant fan. Yeah.
But the movie really made me love the whole franchise, and so many things stand out. But the scene of the whole Weapon X program, just in general, was just so great. Because I'm being an X-Men fan, I'm really familiar with the Weapon X program in general. But that scene alone was really great. And you know, can you tell us a little bit about what it was like? You know, having to work in conditions like that. Like, obviously, you weren't being tortured every day. But what were some of like the prep and mentality you had to go in for that? I mean, are you a method actor? Were you putting yourself through torture to get through that?
I wouldn't call myself a method actor. Mm-hmm. The Ajax's workshop is, of course, like for Weapon X flunkies. Yeah. It's like the school you go to when you get kicked out of military school. And maybe when you get kicked out of that school. I think in the movie they refer to it as like a last-ditch effort. Mm-hmm. And the location was awesome. It was
where did you shoot that? Yeah.
my whole face is screwed up, and I'm strapped to the bed for most of my stuff in the movie, so it feels like you're in there. You don't have to spend a lot of time trying to get yourself there. It feels like it.
So they actually, like, had you strapped down and everything? Like, it wasn't, like, pretend strapped down? It was like, no, you're strapped down, you can't move?
Yeah, they had a guy who's like, we got to strap you down. We're going to strap you down now, and I think he enjoyed it more than I did.
I think you didn't. You have a question that you wanted to ask earlier, like we had.
Oh well, okay. So, a lot of people are going to probably sit down and ask, you know, what was it like to work with Ryan Reynolds? But you know, I want to ask you, what do you think Ryan Reynolds would say it was like working with you?
Ooh, that's a fun question. I hope he would be as complimentary as I would be about him. One of the things I really respect about him in this process is he's made it all about Deadpool. He's done. Mm-hmm. Cancer PSAs dressed as Deadpool. He had people from the Make-A-Wish Foundation on the set, which I thought was really admirable. And he was generous enough to let me improvise a little bit on the set, which I really admired. Super collaborative guy. I hope he enjoyed what I did in the process, because I enjoyed taking part in the process. And I know he's been working on it for 6 or 7 years with Tim Miller trying to get it made. So that's a big lesson in tenacity right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely, the whole project shows the love of everyone involved. And now have you like picked up the comics since? Have you decided you want to give a go in reading the comics now, or probably don't have time now?
A lot, like you said, yeah. The process has made me a fan. Like, you walked into the movie excited to see it, and you became a Deadpool fan. Once I got the movie and really took the time to research and go into the comic book store in my neighborhood, kind of made me a fan. I own the first issue. Awesome. I own the first issue Cunningham appears in. I'm there on comic
That's
book day.
That's so awesome.
When the issues come out.
That's
it's
so
exciting.
Cool.
But I wouldn't claim to have the level of fanhood
but
this
you
guy
now are reading
has.
Deadpool, which is the goal of this whole franchise.
It is,
amazing.
Yeah. And that's what's exciting about it. I think the movie... Well, let me ask you, as a hardcore fan, are you impressed with what they did?
That was actually the last segment before you came in.
Okay.
I think that it is the most literal translation we've had of a character from page to screen. Like, it actually...
I mean, it rivals Iron Man in that way.
And like, but I also think that's because, as much as Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark, I think that Ryan Reynolds was born Deadpool. He just got the suit recently. Like,
yeah.
I think his whole life has just been waiting to... And, like, I can't imagine it. Like, you were talking about 7 days of the phone to ring. Like, 11 years of fighting for a character. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's commendable. So the fact that you're now a Deadpool fan because the movie was such a literal translation means that they did it.
I think they'd love to hear you say that. I think part of the reason they had to fight so long is that they were uncompromising in their fan view of what the movie should be. They didn't want to make a lot of compromises at the studio level to make a product that they didn't think Deadpool fans like you would get behind.
And I think because of X-Men Origins Wolverine, we got this. And I'm okay now that X-Men Origins Wolverine exists because it gave us Deadpool.
Sometimes something has to happen so something better can
like
happen.
Yeah, a giant negative has to occur for a tidal wave of glory, and now we got that.
Tidal wave of glory.
You know what I mean? Like, we had to sink
the
below.
Best, this is the best review of Deadpool, I think. Deadpool is a tidal wave of glory.
I sort of feel like calling it a tidal wave of glory is underselling it. I think you could do better.
Yeah, that's just day one.
Do better, Coy. Do better.
Review for poster. But yeah, I think the fact that someone was cast in it that now likes the comic shows that they made a fan out of someone that was involved, and the fans that were involved got the movie made. It's this amazing, like, reciprocal force.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so let me ask you. The director, Tim Miller, right, seems like the sweetest man ever.
He's a great guy. He is a mad genius. He ran a visual effects company. Oh, and by the way, when you introduce him, you should call him Academy Award nominee, Tim Miller, because he was nominated for an animated short that he made
That's
with a
right.
good friend
yes.
of his,
That's
I
right.
think in 2004, like the mid-2000s, and has been a visual effects guru all during that time. Yeah. He designed the opening credits for Fincher's Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Which is so beautiful.
Which, yeah.
I think he did some of the opening sequences for some of the Marvel movies, too. I think he did, like, one of the Thor films and stuff like that. Yeah.
And now he's the highest debut director gross of all time.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be his last big movie. Yeah. It was definitely his directorial mm-hmm. debut, and that's surprising when you see the movie,
yeah. mm-hmm.
because it comes off as very professional and very slick and very well executed, but we're definitely going to see more from him and hopefully more in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like for the sequel, at least, they're bringing back the entire same creative team behind yeah. Deadpool. Mm-hmm. And I think you were saying that they're actually lobbying for less than 100 million.
We don't want
more than 100 million. Like, we want to keep the budget
low.
It's
so commendable to me to be yeah. like, the integrity is worth more yeah. than the money. When someone's handing you a check being like, no, like, that's amazing. That's... Especially after 11 years. Anyone could be like, you know, I waited 11 years and barely had food. Well,
but you know, I also think that helps keep studio pressure off Absolutely. Of it too. Because if they're like, no, look, we've given you 150 million, you better do A, B, and C.
Well, how about we take 50 and make another Deadpool movie?
Yeah.
Like, and they did. Yeah. I'm so proud of that. I'm so proud of everyone involved for that.
What are the chances that you think you'll be making a comeback in Deadpool 2?
Yeah, I think if I did have
no spoilers, like, you know,
if I did have a place in the sequel, my bet would be that it would be more in a flashback yeah. to the first movie. My Spidey sense, get it, would tell me that my inside out mass Spidey sense would tell me that I think they're going to focus on entirely new story next yeah. time around.
Yeah.
This was about introducing mm-hmm. Deadpool to new fans,
yeah.
the world,
satisfying the yeah. old fans, people overseas, and I think now that everybody loves Deadpool as much as you do, they're gonna take it in a new direction.
Now, given the chance to do another superhero film, would you want to go down that route again, or would you like to try to have some superpowers next time?
Sure, yeah. yeah. I feel like my character was in the process of mutating, but he never,
yeah.
never
what, quite. What do you think your powers would have been?
I think, ooh, that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. You stumped me there.
What would you have wanted your powers to be then?
The little kid in me wants to say see-through vision.
Who yeah! doesn't want that? Yeah.
Now, what else? You say you go every week, mm-hmm. new comic book day. Is there anything else you're looking to pick up?
Yeah, I really like the Sinner series. Mm-hmm. The guy that wrote Watchmen.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Alan Moore.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which I think is the next closest literal translation of comic. I think Watchmen was too literal, and it lost its movie factor. I think Deadpool found that fine line of like 9.5 out of 10, yeah. so mm-hmm. it was still a movie. Have you seen the Watchmen film?
Yep, I loved it.
I feel like it's panel for panel, but something about that, audiences were like, I don't know. Whereas Deadpool yeah. found a way to be both a movie and a direct translation, so I think it was an improvement on the concept mm-hmm. of literal translation.
Well, and it's close to like what Guardians did, too, because mm-hmm. Guardians actually didn't adapt any
right.
storyline, but it still felt like a Guardians story. Like, it was like, it's because it had that heart, and I think that's like what Deadpool had. Like, even though they had like the literal translation,
right.
like as close yeah. to, it was still like, it had that heart. It had the heart and the tone of a Deadpool right. comic.
Because like, Deadpool rarely wins. Like, in the yeah. comics, Deadpool, like, doesn't usually get the girl. And, like,
no.
So the fact that they did that didn't bother me at all, and I thought it would. Because I was afraid that would happen. And then when it happened, I was like, no, he earned it.
He earned it.
And I was yeah. really happy for him.
So you're reading Sinner? Anything else? Or
what's that?
Oh, you said you're picking up Sinner, but anything else?
I like the Criminal series.
Yeah.
I like Criminal a lot. Yeah. A lot.
That's Brubaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Brubaker.
So good.
I love noir stuff, so I'll take any recommendations.
Oh, Fade Out by Brian K. Vaughan.
Yeah. Fade Out. And was Brubaker involved with that at all?
I don't think so. No. I can't remember the artist, like, but I know yeah. the writer is Brian K. Vaughan, mm-hmm. and it's called Fade Out. It takes place like 1940s Hollywood.
And that's a good L.A. noir one.
Yeah. And Brian K. Vaughan is just...
Yeah, well, I mean, Why so the Last good. Man is a brilliant entire mm-hmm. arc. It's about, like, the last man on Earth in a world of women, and he has a monkey. And it's great.
That sounds like a good problem to have.
It's a fun situation.
You would think so.
But, yeah, no, it's a fun weird noir, like a dystopian... Yeah.
A dystopian future noir where all the women have, like, anything with a Y chromosome died except for these two things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's really
good. I'm hoping we get X-Force soon, but I know they're already working on Deadpool 2, so I think
we'll probably get the sequel before yeah. we get... Because I think they'll use the sequel to introduce Cable. Mm-hmm. We already know... like, they confirmed Cable's appearance in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, spoilers, if you're watching, you shouldn't be watching it if you don't want spoilers.
That's this yeah. episode, you guys.
But they confirm Cable's coming mm-hmm. in the second movie,
mm-hmm.
so they'll probably set up Cable and then use that to jump into X-Force. Mm-hmm. And I think... Like, X-Force and New Mutants is probably going to be... I think they'll have two tracks at Fox. They'll have their X-Men universe, and then mm-hmm. they'll have their Deadpool universe. And the yeah. Deadpool universe will be the R-rated stuff with X-Force, And stuff like that.
I think it's Cable's too rich of a character to throw into like five new people. So I think it'd be good to have Deadpool 2 to allow Cable to be everything he's meant to be. And then I want a hard R new universe of Deadpool X-Force like that.
Oh flavor. Yeah,
because it's a mercenary team.
And I really want that like mid-2000 X-Force reboot where we get X-23 and Warpath, and it's just so sick.
It's
Archangel.
A great way to introduce a universe. Yeah. They really, like, Fox in one movie was like, oh, we're just gonna fix a lot of problems. Oh, by the way, here's this whole world. Yeah. And they did it with a $58 million movie.
And what's funny is that it almost seems like they just kind of tripped into it, you know? Yeah. Because you've got, like, DC, like, we've got to get this giant universe. Dawn of Justice, here it is!
Ryan Reynolds, like, in his basement, like, you know this Deadpool thing, guys? I've been saying for 11 years. Like,
yeah.
And then, what was the on set? Like, what was the... I know it's a lower budget. What was the vibe like on set? Was it fun? Were they talking comics? Were they referencing? Like, what was the flavor?
It was, I keep saying it, and I'm not kidding at all, it was super collaborative. Ryan was a producer on the movie, and he and Tim were very much in lockstep. And one thing I enjoyed as an actor was the amount of discussion and exploration of a scene before we would shoot.
Great. Mm-hmm.
And I felt great that they included me in that. And then there was some exploration and improvisation during the shooting. So the environment on the set was a lot of hard work. Everybody super excited to be there. I think people knew they had something special on their hands, but it also wasn't rushed. It was very it was that relaxed focus that people go to Buddhist monasteries to attain.
Nice. The man in a red suit.
Yes. Oh,
that's so awesome. That just makes my heart happy to hear. Like, that's so nice.
It was really a special experience in that way. So with Cable, do you think Deadpool and he are just going to be friends, or do you think there's going to be a lot of
a learning curve?
I think
I mean, they're Laurel and Hardy. Mm-hmm. Like, they're sort of like team. You know, like Deadpool is just like this irritant to Cable's like. Very hardcore focus, you know, like, it's two stupid dogs. Like, Cable's the big, like, loafing dog, and, like, Deadpool's the irritating, can't shut up
dog. That's why I like Michael Biehn or Mel Gibson.
I think Cable's just going to squish his head every once in a while, because he can. He can just literally just... Yeah. Crush his head and he'll come back.
I think it's going
to
be
he'll grow back.
It'll be great.
Like Riggs and Murtaugh. Like, I really want that in a superhero movie.
Mm-hmm. I think Cable will have fun killing Deadpool over and over and over once he discovers that he can do that. Like, I'll take that montage.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be good with that. It's a good montage.
So do you have anything you're working on coming out anytime soon?
One thing I'm super excited about, it still just has a working title, but I played a Scottish talking dog in a live-action feature. So they shot the dog, and then I spent a couple days in the booth out in Santa Monica. And my grandfather was Scottish, and he'd always tell me, you're not listening, and I had no idea what he was saying until I was like 6 or 7 years. Oh, I mean, the guy was like Shrek. So... It was kind of a dream come true in a weird way for me, like working on Deadpool was. Oh, it was a nice way to remember him because he was a great guy.
Oh, that's great. That's
what's the name of the movie? Do you know?
There's a working title. Mm-hmm. It's called Pop Star. I think that's going to change because there's a competing project, it looks like. Yeah. But that shot up in Vancouver as well. And the guy that played the recruiter in Deadpool, Jed Reese... I coincidentally had scene work with in Pop Star.
Oh, that's funny, man.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
That's LA's awesome. This big when you look at it the right way.
Or Vancouver, really.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, where can people find you and follow you to keep up with you and your work?
Yeah, I quit social media and then I go back on, but I am underscore Scott1 at Twitter.
Nice.
And if people look really hard, I'm sure they can find me on Facebook.
Yes, stalk you.
And maybe they'll find me back here with you guys. This was a lot of fun.
No, love it'd be great. To have you back.
And for you listeners at home, at I believe it's 3 o'clock in just like 10 minutes, Hugh will be on iTalk Movies. Right? I think you're going to go do a second interview on iTalk Movies with Carrie Lane.
Yep. Yeah, so quit listening to this and then
people want more of you. They can go do that because our show's wrapping up.
We wanted
to end with you.
I felt like we were competing for a second there.
No.
And that kind of scared me. I'm glad that's not the case.
No, not at all.
We saved our Deadpool for the end. We got through the news and then I had to rant for like 5 minutes of excitement.
Okay, so you're a Deadpool fan. Favorite scene? Without being a spoiler.
Man, high stakes.
Well, it can be a spoiler. Like, if our fans haven't watched it, then they should not
okay,
be
favorite,
watching this
I gotta episode. Break it into three.
Three. Okay.
A favorite moment mm-hmm. was the appearance of Bob, because I didn't expect it at all.
Oh, that was so
yes.
good!
Yes.
Only because I knew the movie was winding into its third act, I knew things were getting exciting, and I was like, you know, that's the one thing I don't think they can do. And then they did!
They did.
Favorite line, McAvoy or Stewart, the timelines
of yours. McAvoy or Stewart, yes. That was great.
And the most direct translation from comic, which deserves reference, is when he's fighting Colossus and just breaks himself apart and is just flailing around with broken, like, that to me is Deadpool, because
on the freeway.
On the freeway.
Yeah, yes.
Just the
yeah.
idea of him just being broken but still trying so hard mm-hmm. was to me Deadpool. So those are my three moments of pure glee.
You? I think my favorite line with TJ Miller, it was TJ Miller's, and it's kind of a throwaway line, but he goes, I'd like to go with you. I'd go with you, but I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like a tiny little comedy beat where it's like, I'm scared. I don't do what
like,
you do.
Me, man.
I'm out of my league.
I lost my mind. He walks in the bar, and it was like one of the last bars. When he walks in, he's like, Liefeld. And me yeah. and my buddy, because we were at this con, and Liefeld was there, and Liefeld was, and we just started laughing, and like, you know, our friends who are with us that aren't in on like the comic world, they're like,
right.
why are you guys so, I'm like, that's Robert Liefeld, it's the guy who created Deadpool, and yeah. I'm like, it was just funny to us, and then I said kind of loudly, I'm like, it needs more pouches.
Yes.
Yeah. I love the moment where he showed up at the mansion.
He's oh.
like, there's only two of you. It's almost like yeah. we can only afford two of you. Like,
the studio couldn't afford another
yeah.
X-Men.
It's
oh,
so true.
So good. I loved it. Colossus, by the way.
So fantastic.
By the way, wow.
Yeah, he looks
okay.
so good.
Wow. Okay, though I will say, for those of you who have played the X-Men arcade game, at any point were you expecting Colossus to do that I'm like, I wanted that. I just wanted
Deadpool
that
2.
Actually
there
are awesome.
One non-Deadpool moment. We want Deadpool 2.
Yeah. yeah.
All right, we've got to wrap you and get mm-hmm. you out of here so you can go do your other interview with
and we
got
to get out of here
because
DC
Movie
is coming
in.
So
anyway, that's our show. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. Darren and the Jack family.
Where can people find you?
Jake.
Yes.
Darren Jakes.
For work, we're at CoteDesireSpa.com. You can catch me on Twitter at Darren Jakes. I also do reviews of Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and a few other shows at youtube.com/DWJakes, JAQUES.
Awesome. You will
right.
check that out.
River, you're here dressed as someone today, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell our audience very quickly who that is?
I'm Scotty. She's a Norse goddess. Oh. Giantess.
Ooh.
I have my cape.
Aww. Looks awesome. Good job.
And she is working on her own YouTube channel we are developing Aww. Right
Yay.
Now.
That's
so
awesome.
She's very Congrats. Excited.
Fox time.
That's awesome.
That's great.
And Carolyn, any did you have fun?
Mm-hmm. I had fun, and I love everything. I'm just wondering if the big guys are going to get the point. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy rocked it. Deadpool rocked it.
You mean the studios?
Yeah. The studios.
They won't.
They got us.
No.
I think that Deadpool changed everything like I thought it would.
It's
I think
a new day. Yeah.
It's a completely different world. I think Guardians set it up to okay. be, this is a change. I think Deadpool proved it had changed. I think yeah. Guardians was like, hey, and the series was like, no, it's a fluke. Deadpool was like, no, it's real. So Wait. I think the biggest things are going to change are R-rated superhero movies. I just hope they don't take it the wrong direction. And mm-hmm. I think advertising should change forever, because film advertising is one of the worst things that happened yeah. to movies in a long time, and Deadpool
marketing.
Did it right.
And the products.
I right.
Mean,
yeah.
As a woman and as a mom who mm-hmm. has a young person who loves, we love this stuff, but it's always so ranky.
Where's the yeah. Negasonic? Figure.
I know.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think that'll change. Really? And then I think we're going the right direction. I think Deadpool helped.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, we've got to wrap it up.
Thank you.
But
it was awesome.
Thank
I
you.
Had fun.
Thank you.
A lot
Great.
Of fun.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank
I like the microphone
on.
And I like the headphones. When I was a kid, I thought I might be a rapper, so this is kind of like a dream come true for me.
Well, we're glad we could have yes. you in here to rap with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a synonym.
That was
good.
Out.
I got you.
I'll get
gotcha.
Out.
Yeah,
I'll get out.
Kick yourself right out of the way.
Hoary host of Deadpool.
Oh, it broke my heart.
All right. Anyway, that's been our show. We're at Facebook.com/Marvel News Show or on Twitter at Marvel mm-hmm. Movie New or Marvel News PTN.
Yeah.
Coy?
I am Coy Jondro at Coy Jondro.
Meredith?
I'm Meredith Placco at M. Placco. Also, tomorrow I'm going to be filming with the Library Bards about the very topic of where our female figures are. I'm going to be doing Black Widow and their upcoming song about needing more female merchandise. So that track will be dropping soon. So check out at the Library Bards on the internet.
And I'm Matt Key at the Matt Key. I produce the Fat Man on Batman podcast, and you can see me over there sometimes. Anyway, that's been our show. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
And we're going to head...
And hey, guys, this is the voice of Doom. If you want even more Deadpool review on the Popcorn Talk, be sure to join me and Koi Jandro on Friday for Anatomy of a Movie. We're going to spend 2 hours just breaking down every facet of production and post-production, everything that went into making Deadpool.
That's awesome. That's cool.
That's awesome.
And don't
I'm glad they didn't ask me those questions because I have no idea how they got it to look that good.
And a big thank you to you, Hugh.
Thank you.
You, Hugh. Ha, ha, ha.
I never got that before.
I'm sure not. That's the first thing. I've been watching a lot of Star Trek TNG.
Okay.
So, there, and it, you'll...
Don't that's be a toy- fair excuse. It's a fair excuse.
I know.
Don't be toying with me as daily, man. I get it.
I know. But thank you.
I never would have thought
I know. But thank you so much for coming. It's been such a pleasure. And we'd love to have you come back as soon as you've got anything else you want to chat with us about.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye, bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.